that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning, and that old wheel has rolled around again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, May 20th. Still a little snow on the ground, still a lot of snow on the ground here, and still rolling off the roofs and piles, and praise the Lord for the moisture, and we are sure appreciative of all the rain and the snow that we've gotten here across the western slopes here the last few days. It has been much needed, much needed. Well, I believe John's with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And thanks for being here with us. Our brother Jason is traveling and couldn't be with us here today, but we thank you too, the remnant, for joining us, for tuning in, getting up on Saturday morning and joining us. And we'll have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in, if you have a question or a comment. And I've seen a couple of good things in the news, and a couple things that are not so good. Thought I'd talk about those this morning, but we'll open up in prayer. John, you up for opening in prayer this morning?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that you set aside for us to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage one another to love and to good deeds, just as your word says. And Father, we ask that you guide and direct us, give us wisdom and understanding. Father, give us the topics that you want your people to discuss and to hear. Convict those out there, the remnant, to bring up the things that the Holy Spirit may put upon their minds so that we could edify one another. And just as your word says, iron sharpens iron.
Yes, Lord.
Each man sharpen each other. Lord, your word says in Daniel 9:19, and we're there. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear. And Lord, act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Well, Father, I believe the day draws nigh. I believe the birth pangs are becoming closer and closer, just as your word said they would. Your word also said in the last days knowledge would increase. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for a pastor that for over 30 years you gave insight to, Lord. You let him see things that no one else could see. Father, we ask that you would continue to grant that blessing to your people, the remnant. Father, here 3 years ago, we came to you and we said, Lord, here we are, use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? Father, I know you heard that. And I know you've answered that in a lot of different ways. There's men all across this country that are rising up and taking the responsibility that you've given for them to be ready in season and out of season and preach the word, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter what the consequences. And Father, we thank you for your promises, and we claim Luke 10:19 that you've given us authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us. So Father, as we see evil rising up, as we see in these last days that they know that their time is limited, Father, we ask that you would strengthen our faith, that you would give us the resolve to stand firm, to hold fast to the spiritual weapons that you've given us that will give us the victory. Father, we know the key is obedience. When your people love you with all of their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength, when they come to you sanctified, then they can come against that great accuser, Satan. And they can invoke the promises that you made for us and for our families, for your people, the true Israel. So, Father, bring us to that place. I know that this Branson's important. Father, I ask for a special anointing to be upon those that speak, that the Holy Spirit would speak through us, and that the words that you want sent out would be sent out, and that those that come from all corners of this country and in other countries, Lord, would take those words back, and that they would be a mighty weapon, that they would be a powerful force against the forces of hell that are coming against our people. And Father, we know that the blood of Jesus not only cleanses, it protects. And we plead that blood of Jesus Christ over ourselves, our wives, and our children, over all of those that belong to you, Lord, those that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus, those that love you and fear you. Father, there's an onslaught going on against our children right now. There's an epidemic of suicide. The evil ones are masterful in their plans, and they've come up with ways to glorify and romanticize suicide. So, Father, I cry out for protection for these children. Father, I cry out that you would just remove the scales from the parents' eyes and unstop their ears. Father, that they would put aside the things of the world and they would realize that they're losing their children. Hear us, Lord, as we cry out for grace and mercy. Forgive us, Lord, for the sins we know about, the ones that we don't. Forgive us for the sins of the fathers, even back 3 and 4 generations. Bring us to that place where we need to be, Lord, on our knees in humility. Draw us closer to you, Lord. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all other names, and we claim the victory, and we say, Satan, you can't have one of them. We claim them all to the service of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And amen.
powerful prayer this morning, John. Thank you.
That wasn't me.
We've been encouraging you, the remnant out there, to pray. And to pray, as John had said, with authority. And to be obedient to the word, to pray, in, of course, in Jesus' name. But also to command, to forbid. To forbid the enemy. And we can do that. John, you quoted Luke 10:19, where we are given all power and authority. And we are in the midst of a war. We are in the midst of a battle. We are seeing the not only prisoners of war, but casualties of war all around us. We look at our society. It is a war zone out there. It really is. We need to remember that we are, as Luke 10:19 says, given authority and power over all the power of the enemy. The enemy has power, but the power that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us when we are believers, when we are doers of the word, when we do our best to be obedient to the word, when we desire his will over our own, well, we have that power. We have that power. And one of the things we've talked about lately in our prayers, as well as at church and on the radio, is to add to your prayers that forbidding the enemy to operate through you and your family. Those prayers of forbidding the enemy's thoughts to be upon you or your family, including your wife and children. We see that it works. We see that it works. But we have to do it. I sure think back to our pastor's teaching, John, on faith and belief and how that faith is not just a thought. That faith is an action. I know our pastor would give the example over the years of, you can believe that vehicle out there will crank and will take you to town. And you can believe it all day long. But if you don't have the faith to put the key in the ignition and turn the ignition, and you don't have the faith that there's gas in it, and you don't have the faith that the battery is charged enough to turn the engine over and start it, then you won't go anywhere. And so you have to do these things. If you believe Ephesians 6, if you believe that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness in heavenly places, if you believe that, then you better battle against the spiritual forces of darkness in heavenly places. We certainly have our physical enemies. We have those that in the physical come to steal, kill, and destroy. But we have them in the spiritual as well. And as you mentioned, John, when we see the devastation that's upon our children, it is heartbreaking. It is. In our Bible reading plan for this month, this week, it's Jeremiah. Started back in Jeremiah 12, finish up kind of Jeremiah 42 to 46 today. And this is when this is the captivity. This is when the Babylonian captivity, the people look to Egypt, try to go to Egypt. Nope, that doesn't work. The Chaldeans come against them, and then they're for them, and then they help them, and then they come against them again. And it is this repeating time. It's a time of captivity. It's a time of captivity. And that is such a big part. What's a big part of the gospel message? Understanding who Christ came to and why he came, why he had to come. In Jeremiah 44, verse 4, God says, "Yet I sent you all my servants, the prophets, again and again, saying, 'Do not do this abominable thing which I hate.'" Now we see that today. He has sent his servants, the prophets, to say, don't do these things that I hate. We have his word. We have his word is truth. His word describes what sin is. It is transgression of the law. And yet the people continue. They pay their pastors to stand in the pulpit and say, no, that law has been done away with. Well, that's not what Jesus said. And we find ourselves in this time of Jeremiah once again. A little bit later down in verse 10, says, but they have not become contrite even to this day, nor have they feared, nor walked in my law or my statutes. John, I guess the people were blind back then. God gave his word to his prophets. His people, his servants, the prophets, told the people what to do and what not to do. And they talk about pouring out libations and sacrificing to the Queen of Heaven and things that are part of our culture today. And the people don't even realize it. Their entire town, their entire way of life was being destroyed. They were being invaded. They were being taken over by a foreign people. And that has happened once again today. The foreigners, I saw a news report. John, you'll like this. Colorado taxpayers paid $522 million to imprison illegal aliens over the last 20 years. $500 million over the last 20 years just for the illegals that they caught breaking the law. And so there's
more like to provide room and board to them and then let them out.
Yeah. And we see that time and time again. We see that. A DUI, being a DUI accident. Some illegal alien drunk and hits and kills somebody, and it comes out that they were deported six times. That is commonplace in the news today. Because once again, just as happened back in Jeremiah's day, this new JERUSALEM has been invaded, and the way our way of life has changed, and God says they have not become contrite even to this day, nor have they feared nor walked in my law or my statutes.
And the locust of Joel is what's going on.
It is.
It's 10 times worse in Europe right now.
Yes.
It's coming here, and it's coming quick. We have to be a praying people, fervently praying. We need to be praying for the leadership in the country. We need to be praying for protection for him, and we need to be praying for grace and mercy.
Yes. And there does seem to be a type of a shift out there. It's not a complete returning to God, but that, and we've talked about it before, but I think it bears bringing out that there does seem to be a shift, a change in the land. We talked about how the Oklahoma House of Representatives and Senate had passed a resolution that basically any government employee should stand and do all they can to prevent murder of any type, to prevent abortion, and that's specifically in the law, and they've done that. And we've seen how Planned Parenthood in, I think it was Iowa, was completely defunded. And the state came back and said, no, we will fund our own type of health care where we can provide health care services without abortion. And when we see things like that, it's different. We haven't seen those type things. We've seen more Planned Parenthood over the last 20 years almost instead of less. Well, I saw this news report. Half of all New Mexico Planned Parenthood clinics are going to close. And it goes all through. There's plenty of clinics for women's health care in New Mexico, to where Planned Parenthood, they just aren't making money. They don't have the funding down there that they used to have. But some of the some of the statistics on this, just with Planned Parenthood. It talked about how the things that they do, mammograms and women's care, women's really health care services, are down. Some down 60%. Pap tests have decreased 77% that they've been doing. Cancer screenings have decreased 68%. Their abortions have increased 27%. And their funding, their government funding, has gone from $272 million to $553 million. So that the statistics tell you the numbers don't lie. The health services that this abortion mill has been doing are dropping down 60 to 80% and have been over the last several years. While their abortions go up, they do more and more abortions, less and less health care, and their $277 million government funding has doubled. And that's the last 10 years. But in the last year, we see them being defunded. We see states taking back control. And half of the Planned Parenthoods in New Mexico are closing. And I see that as a positive. It seems better.
Absolutely.
It is better.
At least we can cut them off from their power.
Yes.
They get power from their God through pain and suffering and death, just like we get power from our God through prayer and in worship and fasting. And so if we can, Pastor Peter's pointed that out many years ago, if we can cut them off from the power that they get through the sacrifice of children, no different than it was in the days of Moloch.
Yes.
Then, and they know it, and that's why they fight it tooth and nail. It's funny we bring that up, but then you got these idiots, California lawmakers, are attempting to pass a new bill that would give citizens access to pro-abortion license plates. Senator Hannah Beth Jackson from Santa Barbara, is the sponsor of the new bill. She explained that SB 309 will provide a way for Californians who are deeply troubled by the federal attack on women's rights and health care to take their values to the street while providing, anyways. So for $50 more, you can get a pro-abortion license plate in California. But,
oh, Lord, forgive us. Oh, Lord, forgive us, your people.
Oh, Lord, bring those that can to repentance and destruction to the rest.
Yes. Yes.
There's a lot of good people in California. A lot
there
of good God-fearing people. A lot of people who realize that that's God's country. It's a beautiful state. And I prefer that those that will not bow their knee to Baal would prevail, and those that hate the Lord and hate his people, those that roam like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, that come only to steal, kill, and destroy, would get their wish, freedom from religion in hell. That's what I wish. That's my
Amen.
Prayer.
Amen. And again, reading through Jeremiah, we see the same story being repeated. The people thought that they were fine. They come to Jeremiah and they say, oh, no, we're in a famine now. And we've been invaded, and it's your fault, Jedediah or Jeremiah. It's your fault, because they go in and say, well, when we were sacrificing to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out libations and making cakes and doing all these things that was okay with everybody else, we had food and it seemed like everything was fine, and I think that's the false state that the people in this country are in today.
Sin's pleasurable for a time.
Yes, for a season.
But the wages of sin is death.
For a season. So. And those people in Jerusalem, in Jeremiah's day that did that, he told them time and time again, you're either going to die by the sword, you're going to die by famine, you and your family and your loved ones, if you continue this, and they just continued it, and they died. And they died that way. That destruction came upon them.
Even go back further into Job, last week's reading, and the last part of Job, and what was it that changed everything? Job's Job, therefore, I retract and I repent in dust and ashes.
Yes.
And then God was displeased with Job's friends, who were basically saying that they had heard from the Lord, and this is why these things are happening to you. And God told him in no uncertain terms, you go to Job and you basically repent for what you did, and you offer burnt offerings, and then I will accept him, and may not, that I may not do with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. And then the other thing that really caught my eye was verse 10, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when, when he prayed for his friends.
Yes.
And the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. And then he actually made all of these people come and bring him a coin and a gold ring. And he increased his wealth, you know, many times, many fold. And had seven sons and three daughters. And then it says that Job's daughters were found so fair. There was no woman found so fair as Job's daughters.
Yes.
So, I mean, you read Job and you look at all that he went through. But these are the trials and tribulations, you know. Don't think that the Lord won't test you.
Oh, amen.
He'll test you and say, oh, yeah, sure. This life of sin sure does seem easier. You know, I've had the same conversation with this Wednesday morning prayer breakfast of mine. These men are starting to have some tests in their lives, and they're like, well, if I never joined this prayer breakfast and didn't learn about these things that you're teaching us, then I wouldn't be going through these trials and tribulations. And I said, no, don't kid yourself. If you've had the opportunity to learn the truth and you shy away of it because you're afraid of what that truth will change in your life, then don't be surprised if the Lord brings that tenfold upon you, what you would have gone through in the testing and trials and tribulations. And they're starting to see that, well, wait a minute. If I start learning about the truth of the Word of God, I start learning that there is an adversary out there that roams like a roaring lion, and they're witnessing it. They're seeing it in their children, and things that they never would have believed in a million years could affect their children. Don't kid yourself. All of this stuff can affect your children. Amen. This series on Netflix, 13 Reasons Why, is such a conduit, such a door to evil that you can't even imagine. And when, you know, when you willingly open up your iPad or your phone, I didn't even realize you could watch Netflix and TV on your phone anymore, but these kids, that phone is a conduit to demons. And if you're not regulating that, I mean, personally, I think we ought to be crushing them, but if you're not making sure that phone's down on a counter after 8 o'clock for some aged children, and
right,
no later than 9:30 or 10 o'clock at the latest, if they're taking that phone to bed with them, then they're taking a conduit to demons like you cannot imagine. And we're going to lose our children if we don't wake up, because we think that we're protected from some of this thing, but there's technology out there. You know, in the last days, I believe that evil knows that its time is limited, and it's risen up stronger than ever before. And these men finally realized that, well, wait a minute, I guess I probably need to be forbidding the enemy from operating in my life and my wife's life and my children's life daily. Maybe I should pray those prayers that you gave us in the morning and in the evening.
Yes.
And it's maybe I should understand and read Ephesians, that all of Ephesians are the things that we are to do so that we can have the protection of the full armor of God. And they're starting to realize it.
Praise the Lord.
Which is a good thing.
Yes, it is.
You war against Satan, and he'll war against you.
That's
just the way it is. Pastor taught us that many years ago.
Yep, and it's much better to be aware, to have, like you said, John, that knowledge. And we're not talking about the kind of knowledge that puffeth up, but we're talking about the kind of knowledge that honors God, the kind of knowledge that brings you into better obedience to God, so that you can have the blessings that he puts out there. Hosea 4:6, this came up, John, this past Wednesday at the prayer breakfast with the men that I go to. And the men were talking of, you know, just how bad it is out there, whether it's suicide or drug use, or here we have graduation. Had graduation, college graduation up here at the university last week. And one of the men that come to the prayer breakfast is a police officer. He's a young man, and he's a police officer. And he was telling of the parents of the graduates that were down at the bar drunk and fighting, and the parents.
In Little Laramie, Wyoming.
In Little Laramie. The parents. And, it's just heartbreaking. And I asked them about Hosea. I said, do you guys remember reading Hosea? Hosea 4? My people are, it's Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And, John, I think that ties in with what you're saying about that technology. That our people are destroyed for it. They don't have the knowledge of God anymore. They don't want to be active. They don't want to be have God to be a part of their life, except to be seen going into a fancy church on Sunday morning, to where they can make good business contacts, and be part of the in crowd, and have their good contacts, and be looked upon and seen. And hopefully looked upon well by the other people that they gather with. And that's not the knowledge. That's not what you need to have to be able to protect your family. And we read on, since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. And when you look around, how many generations are we into that? That we have forgotten the law of God, we have forgotten His Son, Jesus Christ, who came. Don't think I came to abolish the law, but fulfill it. And yep. He has forgotten our children. And you know, when you find yourself in a hole, what was it Pastor said? First thing to do is stop digging. First thing to do is stop digging. Stop getting deeper and deeper into it. And it's that way with this. If you've forgotten about God, guess what? He'll forget your children. But when you remember God, when you remember His Son, when you remember His ways, when you remember what He says back in Jeremiah 46:28, I will correct you properly and by no means leave you unpunished. Well, you face your punishment, and then you remember God, and then He remembers your children. Got a caller. Let's see if we can get the phone lines on today. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, John. Morning, Richard. This is Zach from Michigan.
Hey, good morning, Zach.
Morning, Zach.
How are you guys?
We are good.
Fighting a good fight.
Yes.
I was listening to you guys this morning and what you guys were talking about, and it got me all riled up just because of some of the things that I deal with. So there's a scripture I'd like to bring to kind of come at a little bit of a different angle, but basically the end, the result's the same. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 14. It's a verse that everybody on the ministry should know by heart, but if for the ones that do not, I'm going to read it anyway. And I read, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." What I do here at home is I work with a church, and they give me the opportunity once a month to give a lesson or a sermon. And what I do, I just read out of the Bible and point certain things out. And the thing that is stunning to me is you can point something out, like that verse, Richard, that you just quoted of what Christ said about the law. Don't think I've come to abolish it, but to make atonement for it. And you point that out, and it is simply, they don't get it. And it just boggled my mind. And I couldn't understand why they couldn't get it. And it dawned on me, as I was getting ready for Branson last night, Pastor understood this, and I always understood it, but I didn't really wrap my head around it. When we are dealing with people, the enemy has put in their head a hippie Jesus.
Yes.
And when you're talking to them, you are talking to the enemy because they have been misled. And you are dealing with a fortress. And to break that fortress, either you can just keep hitting it, or you have to do it God's way. And I was reading in Numbers last night, in Numbers 12, where it talks about Moses and Aaron. God told them to go do something, and it said that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. And that is why God used him. And being humble, you realize that you are unimportant. You're not important. The grand scope of thing is God's plan. And when we truly humble ourselves, like I always knew what it meant, but to really wrap my head around it, I don't think I truly understood what it meant. It means I am insignificant. And when we realize that, then God can use us, and then we can take on that fortress. Then we need to understand perfectly that it is nothing that we do. It is 100% God, because God will always have somebody else that will step up to the plate and take a swing to be able to be his vessel, his proper vessel. That's what Pastor Peters was. He was his proper vessel. And look at what God did with Pastor Peters, you know. So we need to understand that we are dealing with a fortress. And like I said, I was listening to you guys, things going on in the world. There is good news. There is bad news. Like John was saying about these iPhones or these smartphones and all these children, you know, always wanting to play on them. And yes, they can instantly, they can be looking at something that they should not be. We need to understand that we are dealing with a fortress, and it needs to be dealt with properly. And the first step, in my opinion, is that we need to humble ourselves, and we need to humble ourselves in a way that we didn't even really realize that we could, because I didn't understand the definition. I'm not sure if I still have my head wrapped around the definition. Does that make sense?
It sure does.
Absolutely.
Yes,
it does. Part of that humbling is fasting, too, you know, humbling your soul, that message I did on that. That's something that I saw that I never saw before, but it's in Scripture multiple times, you know. Humbling our soul, that involves fasting. That involves sacrifice. That involves a certain amount of pain, you know. Nobody likes to fast, but it's things that we need to call out to God and say, Lord, lead me. And when you're led to fast, you better do it.
Because, well, see, and the thing about fasting, I don't understand the mechanics of how it works, and I simply don't need to. But I do know it works. After that message, John, I went on some fast, and it does work. At first you're mad, and then you got pain, and then all of a sudden you'll find yourself in a pile. And I don't know why, but it does work. So that's what I know about that.
Too. Remember, Christ says that we cannot live on bread alone, right? But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. One thing you'll find, if you do fast and you get in the Word, you will find that those hunger pains are much less. You will find that you don't long for food because God's feeding you with spiritual food.
Yes.
You know, all of these things that He's written in the Bible are true. There's one thing that He can't do, and that's lie. That's the only thing He can't do. But, you know, just like you said in 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6, the second witness to that most people miss is the first part of Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And when you realize that, when you realize it's a spiritual warfare, when you start to think back, if you've been around for a while, all the spiritual weapons that Pastor Peters revealed to us that were revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And Lord willing, this Branson, I think the Lord's revealed a secret weapon that's going to be more powerful than any of the other ones in taking back this kingdom. And that's about invoking the promises that he's given to us as his people, if we're obedient, if our desire is sanctification. And sanctification is where we put the Lord before all other things. It's not an easy place to get to. It's just like complete obedience. Complete obedience is when we love the Lord with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. But the other thing I was going to say, Zach, is you got to realize, too, at some point, and Pastor taught us this as well, at some point you have to dust your feet and move on, because the day draws nigh. You know, I think of Ezekiel 3:17 through 19 quite often. If you see someone living wickedly, we don't have time sometimes to go back to the basics and try to take an eyedropper of milk and feed them the milk. Sometimes if the Spirit convicts you, you tell them point blank, the Bible tells me if I see you living wickedly and I don't tell you to turn from your wicked ways and you die, then your blood's on me. But if I warn you to turn from your wicked ways and you don't, then your blood's on you. And I've done that several times, and I've given them a beautiful leather Bible, and I wrote some scriptures in it, and I said, you've been warned, because that's what I was told to do. And people say, oh, that's harsh. Jesus loves you. You can't do that. Oh, really? So that's what you got to, you know, that's why it's all about listening to the Holy Spirit. It's Amen. About hearing the Holy Spirit. It's about being obedient to the Holy Spirit. And if we can't hear the Holy Spirit, then we're not going to have the victory. That's the end of the story.
Amen.
Well, and, you know, and you're absolutely right, John. And I'm not going to say on the other hand or a but maybe, you know, this is my training ground. And when I get done with it, and if the Lord leads me somewhere else, absolutely 100%. But, you know, it's like Paul, when he got baptized, he was in the wilderness for 3 years while he was being brought up to speed. You know, maybe that's, you know, anybody that goes through it, they'll understand, you know. And until you've done it, then you just don't understand, I guess, is the best thing that I can say. But I'd like to share one more scripture, because this is kind of what spurred me a little bit, and that is in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, and it says, you younger men likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And the thing of it is,
absolutely,
you know, I need to understand, and everybody else needs to understand, that the grace isn't really there until you're humbled, or you're humble.
Yes.
And, you know, thank God for grace, just for the learning curve. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that being said, I'll turn it back over to you guys. You're doing a great job. I just thought I'd add that to the conversation, because I felt that it fit. So guys have a good rest of your day.
Well, it certainly does, Zach. And you know, if you read on there, it talks about God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Therefore, what does he say? Do he gives it? He puts it in our court. He gives us the opportunity. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. And he goes on, casting all your anxiety on him, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resisting firm in the faith. And I had turned to James 4, because it says basically the same thing. James 4, verse 6. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will draw near. Cleanse your hands. Humble yourselves, in verse 10. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. And it goes on through the end of six more verses there, and tells you how to do that. How you do that. It's just the opposite of the word, I mean of the world. If you read earlier in verse 4, it talks about friendship with the world being hostility to God. And And to me, that ties in with the notes I've got on sanctification, working on Branson. It's a separating yourself. It's being different. And how many times did our pastor preach on that? That we are to be different. That we are to do these things.
It comes back to the God Save America too, and the theme a couple of years ago. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14. What does it say? When my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves
yes.
and pray and seek my face. In fact, I hope to touch on that a little more. I think the Lord's revealed something to us to me there regarding the 2 Chronicles 7:14 that Lord willing I'll touch on tomorrow as well. But you're absolutely right. But all of these things are what we need. We need obedience. We need humility. We need faith. You know, all of these things are the things that we need for the victory. And proper order. Proper order is so important. And nobody wants
absolutely.
To hear it, but that's the way it is.
Amen.
I love
that
you shared.
That's my two cents, guys. I got to get going. I appreciate it, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Zach.
Thanks, Zach. Yep. Thanks for your work in the field. Appreciate
yes.
it, brother.
Whew. John, you know, he was there. Zach was reading in 1 Peter, and boy, the subtitle for verse 5 is Serve God Willingly. And boy, that kind of seems to sum it up. If you read a little bit further in that, verse 9, resisting that devil that goes about like a roaring lion, resisting firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Those that are in the fight, they have the fight. And it is a comfort to know that there are other Christian men, there are other Christian families that are in the fight. And it says the same experiences of suffering. In verse 10, after you have suffered for a little while. So guess what, folks? They're suffering. Boy, that brings a questioned look on people's faces sometimes when you want to talk to them about the love of Jesus. Like Zach said, the people are picturing in their mind this hippie, dope-smoking, sandal-wearing, long-haired hippie Jesus that just says love, love, and everything's forgiven. And that is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect. So strengthening brings perfection. Suffering. Suffering and endurance through it brings perfection. It says he himself will perfect, confirm. He will confirm you. And that is, we need that. He will strengthen and establish you. But to be perfected and confirmed and strengthened and established, it takes those experiences. And this is right after it talks about what Zach read. You younger men, likewise, clothe yourselves with humility. It takes time. It takes those experiences. It takes that suffering after you have suffered for a little while. And that little while doesn't mean, missing lunch one day in the year. That's not the type of suffering that he's talking about. But after you have suffered for a little while, having the knowledge of God, knowing that it's the God of all comfort that comforts, that we get comfort from his word, we get that perfection and confirmation and strengthening and establishing from his word, from that perfect obedience. And when we go through trials and tribulations, you know, we don't always do the right thing. We don't always endure the way we should. And there's many people out there that are in that position. Well, it's kind of like breaking that generational curse. You'll get to do it again. And when you get that test again, or when you get that suffering, that same experience again, well, hopefully you learn from the previous one, and we do better the next time. And that's those experiences. That's those experiences. The thought occurs to me, John, remember Pastor used to talk about making good judgments And he said, well, how do you learn how to make good decisions? And it's that you learn from when you made the bad ones.
Yeah.
It doesn't it's just cool come. Enough. It is. So.
Yeah, well, he endured a lot of pain and suffering and tests and trials and tribulation to teach us, the remnant, so that we don't have to go through the things that he went through.
Yes.
If we're smart enough to see that that's what he was doing. I mean, that plaque that he has, the best sermons aren't preached, they're lived. There's so much truth to that. And it's, it can be somewhat overwhelming sometimes when you decide or when you're called and the Lord puts you in a position that you're, I guess the scripture that comes to mind is, least many of you become teachers, as you will incur stricter judgment. That's true.
Yes.
And what you teach, you have to test.
Yes.
And you have to make sure that what you're teaching is truth.
Yes.
It goes back to the story of Job. They thought they were righteous. His friends thought they were righteous. Job, this is why these things are happening to you. The Lord showed me that this is why these things are happening to you. Oh, really? That's not quite how it ended, was it? And if it wasn't for Job, grace and mercy on them, the Lord may not have forgiven them. He basically said,
right.
You go to Job and you make petition and you offer these sacrifices to God. But, he wanted to make sure that they understood that my servant Job went through all of these things and he didn't curse me. He never denounced me. And you guys were prophesying falsely.
Yes.
And there's consequences for that.
There is. And that happens even today.
But,
even today, John, people will go through tribulations and trials. And many times it is, like it says, it is a test. It is to strengthen us. It is to perfect us. It is to confirm us in God's eyes. His ways are different from the world's ways. The world will look at trials and tribulations and, oh, I'm so sorry, that's just horrible. You know what? Boy, God's getting you, isn't he? I've heard that before. Boy, God has just got he's got his finger on you, doesn't he? You better watch out. He's throwing thunderbolts. That is not how God is with those that are trying to please him. When you read the beginning of the story of Job, Job was a righteous man. Job loved the Lord. He loved his family. He was humble before God. He was a humble man, and he was being perfected. He was being strengthened. He was being tested. He was being taught endurance, and he came through it.
That story has a lot to do with. Sometimes we think that we're righteous. We think that we're living a godly life. We think that these things can't come upon us. Well, I think that story is there to let us know that, they can. And there's a lot of things in our lives that we don't have control over, and his ways are not our ways, and we may not have the understanding until that great day when we are before his throne, and we'll understand all things. But you guys might have talked about this last week, but there was a couple of children that were rescued from a drowning car.
Yes.
They're in Texas. And did you guys talk about that last week?
A couple weeks ago we did.
But anyways. Yeah. Okay. But this is what the ultimate goal here, people, in this sanctification. It's this Philip and Emily were driving their vehicle, and a flash flood came through and overturned their vehicle, and their children were in the back seat, and they got out okay. And they were trying frantically to get their children out. And then it says, we had guardian angels with us, said Emily. We heard voices talking to us. And they told us that they were doing everything that they could. And Michelle captured this incredible rescue video. And various people in the video can be heard invoking the name of Jesus to help the children, particularly the four-month old Marshall. In the name of Jesus, let him breathe. Lord, give that baby breath. Lord, praise one woman.
Yes.
Dear Jesus, please let this baby breathe. Dear Jesus, please let this baby breathe.
Yes.
And she continues, and God answered their prayers. And last I heard, both of those children were doing fine. There's no complications, no problems. But think of the faith that these people had. These children were done. They were underwater for much too long. They had, you know, oxygen wasn't getting to their brains. All of these things that in the physical realm say that it's over. Let's start the mourning. But how many people have the faith to actually cry out in the name of Jesus, Lord, let this child breathe. Dear Jesus, please let this baby breathe. And because of the faith of those people, those children are alive today. That's the kind of power I want.
Amen. Amen. He hears the cries of his people. He tells us that time and time
again.
Ask and it will be given. How much more when we cry out like that with the right motives? You know that Matthew 7 says, ask and you shall receive. A little bit later it says, you ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. See, it's according to being in God's will and with having the right motives. And those were certainly the right motives to be crying out to God for that. And that was that faith in action. That was the works. That was the works that the faith created. Hallelujah. Well, Hosea 4:6, maybe we'll close out with this. It says, since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Guess what, folks? When you remember the law of your God and everything he has told us to do, he will remember your children. And so if you want your children remembered...
Okay, a few minutes. Yep.
Yeah.
Let's pray for protection for those that are traveling to Branson. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you set aside here early June for your people to come together and to do just as your word says, Lord. We get together and we encourage one another to love and good deeds. And Father, we ask that you let none attend who have alternative motives, those that come only to steal, kill, and destroy, those that come to deceive, those false prophets and wolves in sheep's clothing, Lord. We ask that even now you'd send your Holy Spirit, Lord, your angels. Your word says in Hebrews 1:14 that you've given us charge over your myriads and myriads of angels. And Father, we take that promise. We ask that you would send those myriads of angels ahead of us, Lord, to cleanse that facility of any spirit that is not yours. Father, that it would be holy ground and that your work would be done over those days. Pray for this men's meeting. Father, I pray for those men who are convicted to bring a short message to other men to sharpen iron, just as your word says. Lord, make it easy for them. Let the Holy Spirit work in their lives. Anoint them. Give them the words that you want spoken. Father, give them the strength and do as your word says in Ephesians, Lord, that we speak boldly as we ought to speak.
Yes.
As an ambassador in chains, because that's what we are, Lord. We're ambassadors in chains. We're here to do your service. Father, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. And we thank you for those laborers that have risen up all across the country, those that are taking their walk seriously, those that are starting Bible studies, those that are not ashamed of the title of follower of Jesus Christ, disciples, Lord, the Jedi. Let us wield those weapons that you've given us. And Father, we thank you for this new weapon that you're about to reveal to your people. Bring us to that place, Lord, where we are sanctified, where we are in complete obedience, where we love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Give you all the praise and all the glory, and we ask for protection for all those traveling, Lord. Put a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield light around. Put angels above them, below them, left and right, front and behind them. Open the doors that they need open. Close the doors that they need closed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. rolling, 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 rolling,